And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. It is so nice to be with you on this lovely Sunday morning. I'm Jo Stanley. As always, I have Gerald Quigley opposite me here.
Morning, Jo. What a wonderful day we have.
It's true. And Sally Obermeter, good morning, love.
Good morning. Morning to you guys. Hey.
Oh, and we're on the cusp of September. Doesn't that feel good?
Spring.
We all have that sense that we're getting through winter and we just made it. Oh, so lovely, the smell of spring in the air. But September also brings with it Liptember, which is a wonderful fundraiser from the Liptember Foundation. They ask us to be bright and buy one of their lipsticks, with the proceeds going towards supporting women's mental health. And today, Katrina Lacandro, a spokesperson for the Liptember Foundation, is going to be joining us and sharing the findings of their first report into the mental health of women in this country. And I have to say, it's an amazing report. They surveyed 5,000 females from 14 years up, and they tell us the top three issues affecting women's mental health. And I have to say, Sel, most women can relate to these issues.
I think they will. I definitely, when I was reading it, was nodding, and I thought, yep, I've been through it, or people I know have been through it. It absolutely, I think, is going to hit the nail on the head for a lot of women when they hear this.
Is this a reflection, Sel, do you think, on all of society? Do blokes confront this as well?
Yeah, I do. I just think being an adult is hard. The pressure on daily life is a lot. You know, these things, and then you put them together, and it's, you know what, no wonder we're all going through. It's different for everybody, but we all feel something.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to not just absorb all of the pressures of life and think, oh well, that's it. We just got to, you know, suck it up and move on. I think it's really important to measure it. And to say, actually, this is what people are living with.
Yeah.
What can we do about it to make it better?
Yeah, and
couldn't agree more.
Take steps to stop some of the initiating causes way back along the line.
Exactly right, Gerald. Yep. Let's go back and work out what has started the problem in the first place. Well, one of the challenges might be being a parent.
What? No, that's easy.
And especially perhaps parenting a teenager, as they say, the bigger the kid, the bigger the problems sometimes. Many of us know it's not easy. So today we're also going to look at the tools that we can put in place to best support the very important young people in our lives. Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, a leading clinical psychologist and one of Australia's top authorities on parenting teenagers, is with us. We're going to explore the current status of teenage health right now. And I think a really important question, when you should know that there is a real problem.
Yes. And because, how do you relate to it?
Yeah, how do you know with teenagers?
How do you engage?
Yeah.
My daughter's 13. I'm like, is this normal? I don't know.
Just the teaching manual keeps changing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's true. Plus, Gerald, you're here to talk us through the benefits of vitamin D.
Very underrated vitamin, and looking forward to that discussion because I think we need to address that fairly quickly.
Yes, we would love to hear from you, as always. Give us a call, 131 873. If you have any questions to support your health or well-being, both Gerald and Sally are here to answer your questions. 131 873 is the number. Next up, the current state of mental health for women in this country.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
What if there was a way you could save young lives while saving the planet? Introducing Unlabeled, a range of cruelty-free, vegan and ethically sourced skincare products made from 100% recycled post-consumer waste plastic. But here's the best part. 100% of all profits from the sale of Unlabeled products go towards preventing youth suicide. So try Unlabeled the next time you need to top up your hand wash. It's just $8.99 at Chemist Warehouse and includes essential oils like lemon myrtle, sandalwood and eucalyptus. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get the Vital Range from $17.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Do give us a call, 131 837 873, I beg your pardon, 131 873. If you have any questions for your health, we'll get to those calls in just a moment. But first, if you are a woman living in Australia right now, chances are that you're experiencing some form of mental illness, whether it be mild, moderate or severe. This is according to a new report, The Mental Health Gender Gap, Understanding Women's Mental Health in Australia. And joining us on the line is Katrina Lacandro, a spokeswoman for the Liptember Foundation, the organisation behind this research. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning, Jo. Thanks for having me.
Firstly, congratulations on this incredible research. I read it yesterday. It's extensive and it gives such a thorough picture. I must say, though, instinctively, I felt like I already knew this about women in Australia, and because a lot of us are struggling a lot of the time.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It was surprising, but not surprising, because we know it, but now we have the research to back it up. And one in two women in our country are experiencing mental illness, and that is just incredible. But importantly, less than half of these are actually seeking support.
So that raises a good point. Why aren't these women seeking support? What's happening?
Yeah, so I think there's a range of factors, and across the demographic and life stages of a woman, there are different barriers to seeking help, and some of those include not realising the importance of having the issue addressed, or thinking they can manage it themselves, or thinking that medical professionals won't be able to empathise with them. So there's some of them, but really it's not having the time and that the cost. Yeah, and that the cost is just one of those things at the moment that people are really struggling with.
Katrina, what are of all the issues contained within the report, what are the main mental health issues that women have expressed in that report?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different triggers for each individual, but some of the key findings is that I guess women under the age of 39 at the moment are at a really high risk for mental health conditions, and our younger generation of girls are facing issues such as body image and psychological distress that seems to be exacerbated by the ever-changing societal pressures and standards at the moment.
But it's also things like stress, which I interestingly for you to name stress as a mental illness, that I found quite a shift for me.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's interesting too, because the report is talking about mental health issues. So stress is an issue that causes or can be a really big cause of mental illness down the track. So women who experience stress, which was the top mental health issue at the moment for women in Australia, people who experience stress will experience a bunch of other mental health conditions at a higher rate than those who are probably not stressed.
So let's just confirm then. So number one came out as stress, then you had anxiety and anxiety disorders, and then third was body image. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So a lot of women are experiencing these three types of issues that are really exacerbating their thoughts and feelings around their own mental health.
Katrina, is you still with us?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, good. Sorry.
Katrina, you mentioned social media there and body image. Is that combination across all ages making it more difficult? Bearing in mind social media is a relatively new phenomenon, it's driving so many of our younger kids into all sorts of despair. Did you find that anything was revealed there as far as that connection was concerned?
Yeah, so we did find that social media was a main trigger for people who were experiencing stress, anxiety, body image issues across all age groups. However, it was most prevalent in those aged under 39, and especially in women aged 14 to 19. That was one of the absolute top triggers for the conditions, the mental health conditions that age group were facing. And it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's going going to be there forever. So it's about trying to understand how we manage those triggers for that age group.
So true.
Katrina, is it with social media, the whole compare and despair? Is that what's happening?
The thing is, it's very hard to tell exactly, but it is about women comparing themselves to others and seeing this highlight reel, and even sometimes knowing that that's what it is, but still not being able to stop comparing themselves to others. And I think that that is really, it's really something that's hard for women to switch off to.
Interestingly, for older women, if you're looking at that 40 plus demographic, a lot of the pressures and the triggers are things that are just what we absorb in life. It's the household responsibilities, work responsibilities, it's caring for family members. I mean, those are things that you can't remove.
No, that's right. So it's things that you can't remove, but I think that a lot of the time that burden does fall on women as caregivers in our society, and those kind of societal pressures and norms. And a lot of women are feeling, you know, they're feeling the load. They're feeling this really heavy mental load at the moment. And, you know, COVID hasn't helped the situation. But, you know, they're like, well, I've got to get on with life and looking after my family and my kids and those around me. And I think older women especially, they feel the need to put others first rather than themselves. And this is where it can kind of really impact their mental health to the point that they're not seeking support for themselves.
Katrina, Lift Timber's been running now for many, many years, and it's becoming more relevant than ever as time goes by. Briefly explain to us what the Lift Timber Foundation does, and it's a fundraising drive, obviously, we know. Can you tell us what the results of the study and the funds raised, what they hope to achieve?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Lift Timber Foundation has been running the flagship Lift Timber campaign since 2010. And that is in September, where we get everybody to wear bright, colourful lipstick to raise money for women's mental health. But this year was the first year that the foundation has run the research. And so this research is really important, because what it does now is it gives us the key areas of need and allows us to build a funding framework so that we can ensure that the money raised in September each year will go towards really targeted programs, initiatives and support services within those certain age groups to make sure that, you know, those women are getting the support that they need.
And Katrina, I love the fact that Lift Timber then funds other charities in those specific areas. Can you speak to some of those charities?
Yeah, exactly. So, for instance, you know, we try and fund a range of other charities that are doing some really important work in different life stages. So, for instance, you know, we've done some body confidence book series for young girls. We fund youth mental health resilience programs in schools. We also do a First Nations women pre and postnatal mental health program at the Royal Women's. Yeah, I mean, the list goes on. We're really trying to make sure that we're getting that cross-section of women in our community who need the support the most, and making sure we're developing or funding programs that are really targeted and specific for those needs.
Well, it is a really wonderful organisation. It's liptimber.com.au if you would like to support Lift Timber, or head along to Chemist Warehouse and you can buy a lipstick for $5 in lots of beautiful colours. Wear it throughout September, brighten up your day and maybe start a conversation as well. It's a really great opportunity to just bring up the conversation with people that you know and love and check in on their health.
Including the men in your family. Get them involved as well. I mean, we don't have to fight these battles by ourselves.
No.
Yeah. I think it's like the more often we talk about things, the more things get normal, and and we help remove that shame that we seem to still struggle with in certain areas.
Yeah, absolutely. Katrina, thank you so much for all of the work that you guys do.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Have a great Sunday. And do give us a call, 131 873. That is our number. We'd love you to call with any of your health issues you'd like some support for. We've got Gerald and Sally here to answer your questions, 131 873. That's next on The House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get the Vital Range from $17.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to The House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley. With me is Gerald Quigley and Sally Obermeier. We are here thanks to Chemist Warehouse. And, of course, you can always check out more information on our website, houseofwellness.com.au, for everything from health and wellness, food, fitness. There's so much information and it's a great resource for you there.
It absolutely is. In fact, Jo, I actually read something that you wrote yesterday and I want to ask you about it. It's called Stop It at the Start and it's about respect. And you wrote this beautiful article about talking with your daughter about respect. Can you talk us through that a bit?
Well, I'm lucky enough, Sal, to be an ambassador for a campaign called Stop It at the Start. And it is all about talking with our kids. We all want our children to grow up to have healthy, happy relationships, right?
Yes.
And I think it's coming from the assumption that that's not necessarily always a natural thing. You have to model it in your relationships, but you also have to find opportunities. If we see something occur, which so often happens in, say, the schoolyard or maybe the TV that they're watching, even music
or
they're listening
to. Or to us in our own life.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. Yep. Just to talk about how, let's break that down. Was that a respectful scenario? Was someone being kind there? Was someone listening there? You know, I don't think kids, I think it's never too early to start that conversation about respect.
And I think you raised a great point, which is that we talk a lot about kindness, but respect is actually something, is a word we should use more of and say that word respect, because it's actually something slightly different to just kindness.
Well, I mean, it's sort of encompassing around listening, about being sort of respectful with people's opinions and
boundaries.
Thoughts and boundaries. Yeah. Absolutely. That is so important. What about in the schoolyard cell? You just see kids are scared to actually say, no, that's too much.
Correct. And look, as adults, sometimes we're scared to say, I'm uncomfortable with this situation. There's a boundary here and this isn't right for me. Mm. And the sooner we can all learn to say, this is what I'm comfortable with, this is what I deem to be respectful, or, you know, and treat each other with respect, the better it is for all of us.
Yes.
How relevant is just a simple little thing like raising voices? You know, do we need to...
Absolutely.
You turn on a television and you've got this shouting from advertising and all sorts of things coming at you. Is raising voices now just accepted as common? Where, you know, it really starting to disturb me that in any scenario, a raised voice is aggression and it puts people on the defence straight away. Mm. We just need to think about how we do it.
Yeah, think about our impact on other people. Mm-hmm. Suppose. This is from a campaign called Stop It at the Start, and the website is respect.gov.au, which gives you some tools to speak about this with your kids if you're interested. Head along and do that. And yeah, I'll read my story.
It was excellent. Highly recommend.
It's a good
highly.
Thank you. That's houseofwellness.com.au. 1-3-1-8-7-3 is our number. Give us a call with any questions for your health. Mark from Essendon. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, panel. I've just got trouble with, before I tell you about what little bit of occasions I take, Gerald, just in body-wise, in my body, I get to sleep all right, but I get up at 4:30 or not get up, my head starts, you know, I'm awake, but I don't have that sort of feeling, you know, like 10 more minutes or I've lost that a long time ago. And, you know, I've tried Imovane and there's another one that they've given me called APX Administriline. Is that right, Gerald?
Yes, it is, yes. Mm-hmm. And they're not working, Mark?
Well, it comes and goes. And then, you know, in some periods I fall asleep and then a few months, then it starts again at 4:30. But, Gerald, what I want to ask is what's wrong with my body? I'm 61 years old, Gerald, but I fall asleep all right, like I said, but I still get up at 4:30, my head, and then... I don't feel good during the day when, you know, as you don't sleep, it's important. What could be wrong with the body, Gerald?
Well, probably nothing, Mark, overall. But you remember there's a couple of basic things that in today's busy society we forget. Sleep is a routine. It's a habit. And you every now and again have to relearn the habit. So very briefly, set a time for bed and try and stick to it. If you're going to sleep well, terrific. If you wake up, get up, flip the doona back, flip your pillow over, visit the bathroom, have a mouthful of water, come back into bed because you'll go back to sleep faster in a cooler bed. look at what stress you've got in your life, Mark, because often that early waking, your brain's ready to go, you're adrenally ready to go. So look at what you're eating before you go to bed, and Sel will talk about that in a moment. Address your stress levels during the day, perhaps with Siberian ginseng, good evidence base around that. And the sort of supplements you need involve magnesium and those gentle relaxing herbs. Now, they're not going to knock you out like the medicines do. I don't think those medications give you quality sleep. You need to restore. You don't need to stop one and start the other. You don't need to stop bad sleep and get good sleep. You're reteaching your brain that at a time of the night, you're going to turn off all screens, every screen. You're going to turn down the lights, have a cup of tea, read a book, not a magazine, get ready for bed, and it's just a matter of getting your body into the habit. And it will work, Mark, but it may take 4 to 6 weeks. Be patient, be focused on the outcome, not on what's happening today, and you will get there. What sort of snack perhaps before bed, Sel?
Look, milk is always great. Anything that sort of helps induce melatonin, and that is, there's a lot of beautiful sleep powders on the market. I'm sure if you wander into a Chemist Warehouse and have a look, you can usually make one of those with a little bit of milk before bed. But as you said, Mark, you are going off to sleep well. And GQ's right, you do need a routine, and a routine is so, so important. And the other thing I would probably suggest too is before you go to bed is just do a brain dump, because as GQ said, when you're waking up, that's your brain waking up, and often it's just because you've got things mulling around in your mind. So if you do a brain dump, the old school pen to paper is fine, and just sometimes that act of getting it out of your head and on the page helps your brain know it's fine and you don't have to. It helps the switch off.
I absolutely love that advice. So I'm an obsessive journaler. Like I'll journal every day. And that is exactly what I'm doing. Just getting it out of your head so it doesn't pop up in the most annoying moments, which is often at 2 in the morning.
The key phrase there is brain dump. That's a ripper.
Yes, well, yeah. I love it. It's great. All the best with that, Mark. We wish you
keep me posted. Drop me a note on the House of Wellness website, the Ask tab. Give me an update in, say, a month. Okay?
Yes. Keep your calls coming. 131873 with any questions. Plus, coming up, we continue the conversation about raising teenagers with Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get the Vital Range from $17.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Give us a call, 131873, with any questions that you have. In the meantime, parenting a teenager is never easy. I'm learning this. My daughter is 13. It's quite the initiation into a different kind of parenting, let me tell you, Sal. She's amazing, though. I think she's truly my hero. But now more than ever, careful consideration is needed with the aftermath of pandemic lockdowns and the constant peer group pressure experienced daily through social media. So joining us on the line is child and adolescent psychologist Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, one of Australia's leading authorities on the mental health of teenagers. It's lovely to have you on the show again, Michael.
Good morning, both of all of you.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael, what are the key dilemmas facing our teenagers today?
Well, we've actually got good research to answer this question. Mission Australia every year do a survey of over 50,000 teenagers, and the last they told us that there are four big issues for them. This is what they're telling us. The first is interesting, and that is coping with stress. They say they're not very good about that, and I heard you talking to Katrina earlier about that. Mm-hmm. Second is body image, not surprising because of social media. Yeah. The third, mental health issues, and they talk about depression and anxiety. And the last one is, also unsurprisingly, school and study.
That's so interesting. Well, I guess, what are the issues as parents and caregivers and grandparents that we need to be worried about? What should we look out for?
So I'm really interested in picking up signs early. So we know that at no other time in your life is the desire to be with your age mates so strong. So we expect young people to want to hang out with friends. If there's a change in that, or if they have difficulty making friends, that's a real big red flag for me. Secondly, they do have to go to school and acquire the skills for future economic independence. So if they're having trouble with that, I'm also flagging it. And the other thing young people have to do is figure out who they are. And they do that by having healthy, risk-taking behaviours. That might be art or music or dance, sport, drama. if they're not engaged in something, if they haven't found the thing that gets them up in the morning, that worries me a little bit. So those three things, pretty important.
Michael, I have five grandsons from 20, and the youngest is 2 years old, 2 years of age today. One of the most exciting presents he got last night was a toy mobile phone. Now, are we introducing this group into the acceptability of a mobile phone, which suddenly becomes weathered at the hip as these kids grow up, and all the problems that potentially it brings? Or you obviously can't be the one-off who never has that. Where can we intervene?
Well, with the greatest of respect to your grandson, I think 2 years is probably way too early. I don't think young people should get a smartphone till they are in year seven. Mm-hmm. And I think prior to that, we need to teach young people the skills, the knowledge and the strategies to use not just mobile phones, but the internet in a safe, smart and responsible way. And I think we, you know, there might be legit reasons for primary school kids to have a mobile for security reasons, but it doesn't have to be a smartphone. It can be a dumb phone without a connection to the internet. So I'm on record as saying I'm hugely in favour of the ban that Mr. Molino introduced, banning mobile phones in state schools from first bell to last and recommending that they not use them in recess at lunchtime. And I think those schools that have done that have a lived experience of more socialisation, less distraction and less cyberbullying.
Michael, can I share with you an observation that I've had of my daughter and her peers? So she's 13, and this is across the board, male and female, is just a chronic lack of confidence. And these are kids who are actually achieving well at school. They're actually quite good at sport, yet, and they have friendship groups, yet they still seem to lack confidence. And it really, at times, is quite crippling. How can we help our kids believe in themselves?
I reckon this is a huge dilemma, and I think 2 years of lockdown haven't helped at all. I think teachers are saying to me very often that the kids are 2 years behind academically. I also think they're 2 years behind psychologically. And I think this identity formation, this lack of confidence, and actually what sits alongside it sometimes is anxiety, this what-if narrative. You talked earlier about the compare and despair phenomenon. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of young people, particularly those wedded to social media, have this nose pressed up to a psychological glass, looking at everybody else's show reels rather than actually living their own life. It's kind of like social media has become the great amplifier. I think that contributes to that lack of confidence. Can parents do? I think we need to give young people the opportunity to use the skills that they have in a way that's meaningful to them. So I would urge all parents, particularly of young teenagers, to encourage them to find their spark, find something they like doing, and really invest in it so that parents can be a cheer squad, and this helps them develop that confidence you're talking about.
Oh, I love that advice. As always, wonderful to speak with you, Michael. Thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure.
And your website is a wonderful resource there. MichaelCarGreg.com. Do head along and check that out as well. Thanks so much, Michael. You have a great Sunday.
You too. Bye-bye.
Next up, 131-873 is our number. Give us a call. Plus, we'll have a conversation with Gerald about vitamin D deficiency. What can that mean for you? That's on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Want to increase your iron levels? Choose Ferrograd C from Chemist Warehouse. I'll say that again. Choose Ferrograd C from Chemist Warehouse, the most widely used brand by Australians for the treatment or prevention of medically diagnosed iron deficiency in the last 10 years. It contains ferrous sulfate and vitamin C in a modified release formulation to assist with gastrointestinal discomfort. Ferrograd C is just $19.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for you. use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get the Vital Range from $17.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
131 873 is our number. Let's take a call. Hi there, Gail from Parramatta.
Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How can we help?
Look, I've had 7 operations for a knee replacement, and I've got a lot of swelling in the knee. Mm-hmm. And I got some organic turmeric tablets. They're 700 milligrams each, and I've been taking 4 a day.
Yes.
Is that too much?
Depends on the brand and the extract, Gail, and there's lots of different varieties. The clinically proven amount of turmeric herb is about 30 gram a day. Now, you can take it in food, you can take it as a supplement, but get some advice from your local pharmacist about the potent forms that are available, because there's no point taking it if you're not going to get improvement. Good move, though. Taking it, it's going to help reduce the swelling. It'll help reduce the inflammation. But taking one a day of something that's giving you a clinically proven amount is obviously better than taking a number of others. So get some advice today or tomorrow.
Sal, any anti-inflamm advice there? Oh, we've lost you.
Oh,
there you are.
Here I am. Here I am with my turmeric advice. look, you can always add it to food, but as I've said before, it's not a therapeutic dose. So definitely still take your therapeutic dose. But if you want to add it, it's great with curries, but you need to have an oil with it so that your body will absorb it.
Yes, all the best with that, Gail, with all those operations. That sounds really difficult. Tony from Mount Collar, a very quick call. Good morning.
Hi, Tony.
Yes, good morning all. Look, I'm 81. I had a heart attack about 10 years ago. Now, I take, every morning, I take 4 prescription tablets, and I also take, in addition to those, 5 non-prescribed tablets. Mm-hmm. Is that wise, taking all those tablets at once in the morning, or are they sort of doing their best with all that mix of tablets,
Tony,
in your body all of a sudden?
If you give me an email, please, today, on to houseofwellness.com.au, the ask tab, list me the prescription medications, list me the supplements, and I'll blend them to give you the best options.
Wonderful. Houseofwellness.com.au to that ask tab. Thank you so much to all of our callers. Gerald, we talk a lot about vitamins on this show, and so we're turning to vitamin D this morning. A lot of us, we don't realise, might have a deficiency.
Or insufficiency, Joe. So the levels are questionable, and there's lots of experts saying we have to reach a certain amount. I think we've gone through 2 years where vitamin D has been underrated in its value from an immune perspective. Mm. There's very little downside to taking a vitamin D supplement, at least until you get your limits measured, which you can easily do. Just ask your GP the next time you're there, can you order, please, a vitamin D test? So it's a common insufficiency that is very easy to address, and I think would make a big difference to our ability to recover from COVID and prevent further infections.
Yeah, definitely. And it's one of those tricky ones where, in terms of food, it's harder sort of to get, you know. So where there's a lot of vitamin D, something like a fish liver, now that's not something people have a lot of, you know. It's you can get it in fatty fish, but again, you're not eating fatty fish 7 nights a week. So if you are deficient, as you said, a supplement's the way to go.
But when you look at muscle function, muscle strength, balance, immune health, ability to absorb calcium, hormone production, there's very little going on in your body where there isn't some sort of even minor intervention by correctly taken vitamin D.
And what about even affecting your mood?
Oh, yeah. Well documented.
Yeah.
Vitamin D does make a difference to mental health. There's no doubt about that. But again, it's a matter of finding where you are. If you've got issues, one of the little asides is have your levels checked of vitamin D.
It's very simple. Thanks so much, Gerald. And we'll be back with more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Looking for a vegan vitamin D supplement? Try Vital Plant-Based Vitamin D3 from Chemist Warehouse. It delivers 1,000 IU of vitamin D3, and unlike many other D3 supplements, it's 100% plant-based and vegan. Plus, it contains 5 types of mushrooms to support healthy immune function. Boost your vitamin D levels with Vital Plant-Based Vitamin D3 for just $22.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get the Vital Range from $17.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Thanks for spending the last hour with us on the House of Wellness. I know that that the theme today has been a lot of mental health and what sorts of programs are out there to support people who might be struggling. And so we encourage you to check out House of Wellness TV, which is back on your screens today at midday on Channel 7, because there is a beautiful story from Farmer Dave Graham. You might remember him as Farmer Dave from Big Brother.
Yeah, great guy.
Oh, he's an amazing guy. And he has this program called Rough Track, which is where they link hundreds of lost and homeless kids he's worked with over the years, links them with dogs, and it's a way of teaching them resilience as well as trust, compassion.
How beautiful.
Oh, my gosh, it is the most beautiful story. And, you know, just really demonstrates how, you know, children aren't lost when they've had a really rough start, that you can actually work with them.
And also the power that of that one person, the difference one person can make on so many, you know, like look at that difference that he's making on all these kids, all these lives that will be changed. They're beautiful.
He's obviously a great communicator. And as Michael was saying before, engagement and communication is really what we've got to start very early in the piece. Mm.
But seeing the kids for who they are rather than their behaviour.
Yes, of course.
Like it's just really, really beautiful. Check that story out and check out Rough Track program if you'd like to support Farmer Dave. It's well worth looking into. Sal, awesome as always.
Thanks,
to have you on the show.
Lovely Sunday.
Gerald, lovely to see you.
Terrific show.
Well.
40 finals, let's go.
Oh, yes, yes. Check out houseofwellness.com.au. Thanks again to our friends at Chemist Warehouse, and we will see you all again next week.